a very famous Maimon Chazal, the beginning of this week's Parsha, which Rashi quotes. The Pasuk says, V'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei oviv be'eretz Kanaan. That Yaakov dwelt in land which was the living place, the land in which his ancestors lived, in Eretz Kanaan. So the Midrash, quoted by Rashi on the Pasuk here in the Parsha, says, Bikish Yaakov Leishev B'shalva, that Yaakov wanted to sit peacefully, with a peace of mind, Kofas Olav Reigze Shal Yosef, and the Ribbono Shel Olam brought upon him the whole story with the disappearance of Yosef, which caused Yaakov Avinu anguish for many, many years. Sadikim Mevakshim Leishev B'shalva. Sadikim want to sit in peace, quietly, without being disturbed, without being upset, without their lives being disrupted. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Olo Dayon Sadikim Mashem Asukim Lahem Ba'olam Haba. Isn't it enough for the tzaddikim what is waiting for them and is prepared for them in Olam Haba? Ela Shemevakshim Leishev B'shalva Ba'olam Hazeh, that they want also to have peace of mind and a nice, quiet, undisturbed life in this world. That's the Chazal which Rashi brings. And the Pashtus of this Medrash constitutes a little bit of a problem. What was the great sin? What was the great pesha? What was the great chet of Yaakov Avinu that Bikesh Leishev B'shalva, that he wanted to have a nice, peaceful life, that the Ribbono Shel Olam had to arrange the hashgacha in such a way that Yikvetz Olav Reigzei Shel Yosef, that the whole parsha of the disappearance of Yosef had to happen, in order that he shouldn't be able to sit b'shalva? And let's assume that for whatever reason it was, the destiny of Yaakov Avinu was that he shouldn't have a nice, peaceful life. He didn't have enough tzaros before the parasha of Yosef occurred. He didn't have enough tzaros with Esav, who was trying to kill him for so many years. He didn't have enough problems with his father-in-law, with Laban. He didn't have enough problems that Rachel didn't have children, and then Rachel died. He didn't have enough problems that he had a whole parasha with Dina. And we could carry on and make the list even longer if we actually went through in detail, blow by blow, the biography of Yaakov Avinu. And it appears from this medrash that the etzem idea that Yaakov Avinu wanted to have a quiet, peaceful life constituted a major crime on his part. Right? It was a terrible thing on his part. That as a result of this conscious or subconscious desire that Yaakov Avinu had, Chazal come along and Chazal draw from this a criticism of tzaddikim in general. That tzaddikim in general want to be Yosef B'shalva in this world, and that's a terrible thing. It's not enough that they're going to get their schar in Olam Haba. They want to sit in this world and have a nice time in this world as well. And where does it say anywhere that there is halacha, as it were, that it's also for tzaddikim to have shalva? Where does it say that? That, and on the contrary, if we wanted to elaborate on the parasha, we could probably bring a number of rayas from Chazal that a tzaddik has the right to a peaceful and tranquil life, the same as anybody else. So obviously, the pshat in this medrash is not kipshutai. Right? You can't understand this medrash in its simple understanding. On the contrary, what the Medrash is probably trying to do here is trying to give some sort of praise to Yaakov Avinu, or to Tzadikim. But the question is how, what, when, what exactly is this Medrash trying to say? So let's try and explain, or perhaps get an insight into what this Medrash is trying to tell us. We find in Parshas B'Shalach that Moshe Rabbeinu put a lot of effort into bringing the bones of Yosef out of Egypt with him when Klal Yisrael left Egypt. And the Gemara says in Maseches Sota on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, Bo Urei Kama Mitzvos Chavivos Al Moshe Rabbeinu. Come and see how dear the mitzvahs were to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekol Yisrael nisasku bebizo. The entire Klal Yisrael was busy with bizos hayam. The entire Klal Yisrael were busy taking the gold and the silver and the precious stones that the Egyptians were carrying with them when the Egyptians chased after them, right, at Kriyas Yamsuf. And the Jews were very busy, bichlal, running around and borrowing stuff from the Egyptians, which they weren't going to return, right? The wealth of Egypt was going to go out of Egypt together with Am Yisrael, as Ribbono Shel Olam told them to do, right? And whilst Klal Yisrael, says the Gemara, were busy running around accumulating wealth, Moshe Rabbeinu, who nis asik b'mitzvahs, he was doing something else. He was busy with mitzvahs. Shenema, as the pasuk says, chacham leiv, somebody who is a chacham, the pasuk in Mishlei says, yikach mitzvahs, he'll do mitzvahs. This Gemara also presents a difficulty. What's the difficulty in this Gemara? The difficulty in this Gemara is the language that the Gemara uses when the Gemara says Shekol Yisrael nisasku bebizo. The entire Klal Yisrael were busy trying to find bizo, meaning booty, right? The wealth of the Egyptians, the spoils of war, as it were. Moshe nisasku bemitzvahs, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, he's busy doing mitzvahs. Mashma, that the fact that Klal Yisrael were busy removing the wealth of the Egyptians, the act of doing that didn't constitute a mitzvah. Therefore, they're criticized that they were involved in the Kichas Abizo. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, he was doing a mitzvah. He was taking out the bones of Yosef from Egypt for burial outside of Egypt, as was the request of Moshe, and as he was told, and therefore he's doing mitzvahs where they're wasting their time with things which aren't mitzvahs. That's not true. It's not true. Hashem told him to do it exactly. The Ribbono Shel Olam told them in Parshas Bo, Daber no be'ozneihom, said to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell everybody, Vayishalu ish me'esreyehu, that they should go round the Egyptian houses and they should borrow clay kesef, clay zov, which they're not going to return. So the bizu of Mitzrayim was also a mitzvah. So how can Chazal come along, how can Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu was doing a mitzvah? Because he was fulfilling the shvuah that Yosef was mashbiahim, that he has to take out, that Yosef was mashbia his children, that they should make sure that he's not buried in Mitzrayim. Whereas Klal Yisrael weren't doing mitzvahs. It's not true. Klal Yisrael were also doing a mitzvah. The Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Parashas Vezos HaBrocha, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu spent 3 days and three nights trying to find the coffin of Yosef, trying to find where Yosef was buried. And when he finally found where Yosef was buried, the he dug up the coffin of Yosef, and the Medrash uses the following expression: Kol Yisrael, the entire Kol Yisrael, Hayu Soivlim HaKesev VaHazohov SheNotnu LeMitzrayim. They were schlepping. Soivlim means schlepping. They were schlepping this massive silver and gold and jewelry that they'd taken away from the Egyptians. Umeisha, and what was Moshe Rabbeinu schlepping around with him? Areino shel Yosef. Moshe wasn't schlepping any gold, he wasn't schlepping any silver, he wasn't schlepping any jewelry. He was carrying the coffin of Yosef. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rabbeinu Shalom turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, Ata Amalta, you said about yourself, Dovo Katan Asisa, that you did a very small thing. You fulfilled the wishes of Yosef that he didn't want to remain buried in Mitzrayim. He wanted that they should bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So you fulfilled the wish of Yosef, and you took out the coffin of Yosef from Mitzrayim. So you think to yourself that you did something very small, big deal. So I was a nice guy, and I fulfilled the wishes of an ancestor of mine. Chayecha, says Rebbe Nishalem, hachesed hazeh she'asisa, this act of kindness that you did, that you took out the coffin of Yosef from Mitzrayim, gadol hu, it's a very great thing. Le'ishgachta b'kesev azov, the fact that you ignored the possibility of becoming wealthy and instead you took the coffin of Moshe Rabbeinu is a great act of chesed. Af ani aseh imcha hachesed, I will repay you with chesed. Ve'es aseik imcha, and I will occupy myself with you and worry about you in the same way that you worried about the coffin of Yosef. And once again, the language of this medrash constitutes a slight problem. What does the Rebbeinu Shlom mean when the Rebbeinu Shlom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ata omalta dova katan asisa? You said, you're thinking to yourself, that big deal what I did, I took the coffin of Yosef out of Mitzrayim. But I'm telling you, it's a great thing that you did when everybody else was worried about becoming wealthy, you were willing to fulfill the wishes of Yosef, therefore I will repay you, etc., etc., etc. Where on earth do we find anywhere any indication that Moshe Rabbeinu ever expressed an idea that the fact that he took the coffin of Yosef out of Mitzrayim was a dovakot? Ask Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz on this medrash in Yeres Dvash, in his Sefer. He says, where do we find such a thing? There's no source anywhere. He says, well, there's no indication, not in the Psukim. Other than this medrash, we don't find anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu held that which he did by taking out the bones of Yosef from Mitzrayim was a dovo cotton. So why is the Medrash assuming this? So the core of the pshat is the following. Every time a person is mekayem a mitzvah, there's different madregas in being mekayem a mitzvah. And the truth of the matter is that from a certain perspective, it would probably be accurate to say that the significance of a mitzvah that was done, the value of a mitzvah that was done, the worth of a mitzvah that was done, would be proportionate to the kavana that the individual had when he did the mitzvah. In other words, if you want to know what's the erech of the mitzvah, what's the value of the mitzvah, lichura, the way of determining what the value of the mitzvah is to see what did the individual who did the mitzvah have in mind b'shas maisa when he did it. Because you can have a situation where two people are doing exactly the same mitzvah, right? Each one independently. Each one's doing a mitzvah, but they're doing exactly the same mitzvah. In other words, you've got two guys, both of them putting on tefillin. So both of them are doing exactly the same mitzvah, the mitzvah of hanochas tefillin. You can have two people who are being shame Shabbos, so they're both being mekayim the same mitzvah. Both of them are being mekayim the mitzvah of shmiras Shabbos. You can have two people who are giving tzedakah, right? And both of them are doing exactly the same mitzvah. Both of them are giving money to a ani. Yet, it's still possible that the erech, the value of the mitzvah being done, is totally different from guy number one to guy number two. For example, if one of the guys is doing the mitzvah because he really believes, b'emunah shleima, that if you do a mitzvah, you will get a reward in Olam Haba. And therefore the reason why he's doing the mitzvah is because he wants the reward in Olam Haba. That's what he wants. He doesn't understand what the reward is exactly. He understands that the reward is probably not the Islamic understanding of what happens when a person reaches the other world, but it's probably something spiritual. That much he understands, but he doesn't know really what it is, but nevertheless, he's doing mitzvahs because whatever it is, it's a good investment. Right? The Rebbeinu Tam isn't going to go bankrupt. He's not going to lose it. Right? So he doesn't have to worry. It's going to have a good return, and therefore, he does the mitzvah in order to get the return. And that is a very positive thinking process. In other words, a person to do a mitzvah in order to get a reward in Olam Haba is something which is acceptable, and it's something which is in fact to a certain degree even praiseworthy. It's a Gemara, it's a Mefurash Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Dalad Amud Aleph. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Dalad Amud Aleph, Ha'aymer, if somebody says, Sela zu litztoka, I'm giving a certain amount of money to tzedakah, Bishvil she'eskeba l'chayei ha'olam, in order that I should get a reward in Olam Haba for giving tzedakah, harei ze tzadik gomo. He's considered to be a tzadik gomo. So you've got one guy who's giving tzedakah, and the reason why he's giving tzedakah is because he believes b'emunah shleima that he's going to get a portion in the Olam Haba, and he wants his portion in the Olam Haba. There's a guy putting on tefillin. The reason why he's putting on tefillin, because he really believes that if he puts on tefillin, he will get chaylik and olam haba. There's a guy who's keeping Shabbos, and the reason why he's keeping Shabbos is because he firmly believes that if he keeps Shabbos, he will get chaylik and olam haba. Very nice. But then you've got a second guy, who's also doing the same mitzvah. He's keeping Shabbos, or he's putting tefillin on, or he's giving tzedakah, but he's doing it for a different reason. He's not interested in whether he gets a reward in Olam Haba or he doesn't get a reward in Olam Haba. He would be willing to do the mitzvah even if he knew 100% that he's not going to get any reward for the mitzvah at all. He's doing the mitzvah for one simple reason. Because he understands and he believes b'emunah shleima that the Ribbono Shel Olam told him that you have to do this, and he wants to fulfill the Dvar Hashem. He wants to do what God commands him to do. Nothing at all to do with schar. It's obvious that the guy who's doing the mitzvah, because this is the ratzon of the Bayri Yisborach, that this is the ratzon of the Creator, obviously that's an even more desirable way of doing a mitzvah than the guy who's doing the mitzvah in order to get reward in Olam Haba. How do we know this? It's in Mefurash and Mishnah. Where? In Pirkei Avos. What does the Mishnah say in Pirkei Avos? The Antigonus Ish Suche said, Al tihiyu ki avodim hamashamshim es harav, hamanas lakabo pras. Don't do mitzvahs like slaves who do the wishes of their master in order to receive a reward. Elo hayu ki avodim hamashamshim es harav, hamanas shalei lakabo pras. And the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph, the pasuk says, "Ashrei ha'ish, Ashrei ish, yorei es Hashem b'mitzvos of chofetz ma'od." To which Chazal say, "B'mitzvos of v'loy bischar mitzvos of." In other words, Ashrei is the person who does mitzvahs even if he's not thinking at the time when he's doing the mitzvah that he's going to get a schar and Adam Haba, but he's doing the mitzvah just because the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do the mitzvah. Fine. Now, when Klal Yisrael had a mitzvah at the time when they were leaving Mitzrayim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded them and said to them, go and borrow gold, silver, jewelry from the Egyptians, and you will become wealthy people. This was a mitzvah, which was a mitzvah. And anybody who did it was Mekayim, a mitzvah. But this was a mitzvah which had a lot of side benefits. Agreed? Right. The Baruch Shalom says, go to the bank, I've opened up an account for you, there's $50 billion there, take it out, and you become a mitzvah. Halavai of alle Yidden gesagt. That's a mitzvah which has a very nice side effect, has a very nice benefit, side benefit. Why? Because taking the gold and the silver was a mitzvah, and by doing the mitzvah, you're going to become a multimillionaire. Now, even if at the time when Klal Yisrael were doing this mitzvah, what Klal Yisrael had in mind was, we're going to become millionaires, at the end of the day, they didn't do anything wrong. Why? Because that was good for the mitzvah, exactly, because the mitzvah was become millionaires. That was the mitzvah. And yet we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up on that mitzvah of taking the kesef and the zav, and instead of that, went to take or to do a mitzvah which had no matan schar b'tzido, which had no side benefit. They were all schlepping on their shoulders the fact that they're going to be multimillionaires, and he's schlepping on his shoulders a coffin. They're going to become multimillionaires, and he's become an undertaker. That's what happened here. And both are being mekayim a mitzvah. On that, say Chazal, bo ur'ei. Come and see. Kama mitzvahs chavivus al Moshe. From there you can see how chaviv the mitzvah was by Moshe, as opposed to the schar of the mitzvah. Shekol Yisrael, because the entire Klal Yisrael, nisasku bebizo. They were very busy taking gold and silver, which true was a mitzvah at that time. However, it was a mitzvah with a schar, a matan schar of tzidah, the fact that you're going to become a multi-millionaire. Moshe, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, nisasek b'mitzvahs. He wasn't interested in schar, he was only interested in mitzvahs, even if they had no schar. That's what Chazal are telling us. Come Chazal and explain the pasuk. When the pasuk says that chacham leiv yikach mitzvahs, on that pasuk which says that a chacham will always do mitzvahs, along come Chazal, and Chazal say the following on that pasuk. It's the pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Yud. So on that pasuk in the Medrash, Chazal say, lahidia, this pasuk is coming to inform us, chachmosai the wisdom, the chasidusai, and the chasidus, the tzidkus of Moshe Rabbeinu, shekol Yisrael oiskim bebiza, the entire Klal Yisrael are busy taking money, Moshe oisik bemitzvahs atzmas Yosef, and Moshe is busy with the mitzvah of taking the bones of Yosef. Now again, this medrash presents a great problem. Why? Because if you're going to tell me that this act of Moshe Rabbeinu indicates the chassidus of Moshe Rabbeinu. It indicates the tzidkus of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's true. You got two mitzvahs. One is going to make you a millionaire. One's going to make you an undertaker. And you choose the one that's going to make you into an undertaker. I can understand. You have to be a tzaddik to do that. A normal person wouldn't do that. He'd run for the mitzvah to be a millionaire. But where's the chokhmah involved in it? Why was he smart for doing that? If you ask Rabbi Goldberg, he'll say loser. Right? Loser, you had a chance of doing a mitzvah and being a millionaire, and a chance of doing a mitzvah and being an undertaker, and you loser went and chose a mitzvah to be an undertaker. Right? Why Chazal saying this is a chokhmah? But there is something here, obviously. What is it? So the pshat is that, think about the following. We have once a year where we have very interesting, we have 2 days where we have two mitzvahs, one following the other. One day is Erev Yom Kippur, and the other day is Yom Kippur. Right? On Erev Yom Kippur, there is a mitzvah, and on Yom Kippur, there is a mitzvah. On Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah is to do something which the next day will be an Aveira. And Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to do that something, which if you did it the day before, it's an Aveira. What is it? On Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat. And on Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to fast. Right? Now, if I was going to ask you, which of the two mitzvahs is easier to fulfill, what would you answer to me? What? So, Rabbi Schefter says, Erev Yom Kippur is a much easier mitzvah to fulfill. I would disagree. I would say the mitzvah of Yom Kippur is much easier to fulfill than the mitzvah of Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because the guy who fasts on Yom Kippur, right, why is he fasting? Because he has to fast. He's not fast. He's getting no side benefit out of the mitzvah whatsoever. Right? A normal guy, right? We're not talking about guys who need a diet. Right? We're talking about a normal guy. A normal guy, when he's fasting, right? It's a very easy mitzvah. The Torah tells you to do something that you don't want to do and you don't like to do and it's uncomfortable for you to do it. And it's to do it. And you did it. That's easy. But where you have to do something that you enjoy doing, you want to do, you like to do it, but you have to do it not because you enjoy it, not because you like it, not because you want to do it, but because God told you to do it. That's a lot harder. Because when you're doing it, it's very difficult to do it for the right intention. Right? Rabbi Goldberg, let's face it, let's call a spade a spade. If the Rebbe Shalom tells you, I want you now to eat a massive steak, you're doing it for God, like I'm doing it for my late grandmother who's lying in Haram Menuchas at your tax next week, right? You're not doing it for no good, you're doing it for your stomach. That's why you're doing it. You're doing it for your tivers, right? And we won't elaborate on that. Right? That's why you're doing it. It's nothing at all to do with the Ribbono Shelem. In other words, when you're doing something which you enjoy, and you have to do it as a mitzvah, that turns it into a difficult mitzvah to do. When you're doing something that you don't enjoy, if you manage to do it, right, if you can do it, it's much easier. Because the principle of a mitzvah is that you have to do, theoretically, the mitzvah, the Shem Shamayim, without any personal subjectivity or enjoyment or benefit whatsoever. And if the person does the mitzvah for his own personal benefit or for his own personal enjoyment, if the person does the mitzvah because he knows that by doing this mitzvah he's going to get a lot of covet out of doing this mitzvah, right? He gives stocker because he knows he's going to have his name plastered all over the place and he's going to be honored at every single dinner that ever happened and that ever will happen, right? Or if a person does a mitzvah like an Erev Yom Kippur to eat because he enjoys eating, right? Then what's he done, really? He's done nothing. He's just satisfied his own goof. Therefore, obviously, it's easier, as we said, to fast than to eat l'shem shemayim, because nobody has any hanor gufanis out of fasting. On the contrary, he's got tsar out of fasting, and therefore there's nothing which disturbs him when he's fasting, in his fasting being l'shem shemayim. But in his eating and his drinking, there is something which is disturbing him from doing it l'shem shemayim, and that is the fact that he is enjoying it. And the fact that a person is enjoying what he does makes it more difficult for the person to be mechaven b'shas maisa, that when he's doing it, that it should be l'shem shemayim, and it shouldn't be for his own personal benefit. And it's an additional factor which makes the mitzvah more difficult, that besides just having to do the mitzvah, he also has to be misgaber on his natural desire, and he has to be misgaber on the fact that he enjoys eating, and to do it, not because I'm enjoying eating, because it's a mitzvah to do it, and that's a very, very difficult thing to do. Therefore, what a person enjoys doing is always a more difficult mitzvah to do than a mitzvah which a person doesn't enjoy doing. That problem of the mitzvah of eating on the Erev Yom Kippur and fasting on Yom Kippur was basically the same problem that faced Klal Yisrael when they were leaving Mitzrayim. When Klal Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, they had the same problem. They had two mitzvahs which they could choose from. They had the mitzvah of Biza Sayam, they had the mitzvah of becoming millionaires, or they had the mitzvah of becoming undertakers. They had the mitzvah of schlepping around Yosef's Aron. The mitzvah of becoming a millionaire is a mitzvah which you get a personal benefit out of and a personal enjoyment out of it. The mitzvah of schlepping around Yosef's coffin was something which, on the contrary, was something which was uncomfortable to do. So the whole of Klal Yisrael, when they saw these two mitzvahs in front of them, what did they do? They knew that you can't do both mitzvahs. So they all of a sudden became Talmid HaChomim. What did they say to themselves? Oisik b'mitzvah, bottom of the mitzvah. If you do one, you don't have to do the other. Which one would you do? Let's go. Let's become millionaires. Because that's what a person wants. A person wants to become a billionaire. And then they turn around to themselves and they say to themselves, this is the best thing that happened since sliced turkey. Why? Because I can do what I want to do, and I get my money and my mitzvah. What can be better than that? I mean, that's utopia. There's nothing which is better than that. However, there was one guy, say Chazal, who was a chacham. Who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he was the only guy who understood that the mitzvah of Biza Sayam is a tremendously difficult mitzvah to be mekayim, and it's a terrible nisayim. Why? Because to do the mitzvah of Biza Sayam without having any personal subjectivity and interest, and to do it l'shem shemayim, is one of the most difficult things to do. And if you don't do it l'shem shemayim, then you've lost out on the mitzvah. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what do I need that for? Let me go and do a mitzvah which is 100% definite that the only reason why I'm doing it is because it's a mitzvah, and there's no side benefits, and there's absolutely no negias involved here, there's absolutely no subjectivity involved here, and therefore it's pure mitzvah, therefore it's pure l'shem shemayim, therefore the schar will be much greater. Therefore, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu, in reality, chose the mitzvah that was kalo. He chose the easier mitzvah to do. And what did they do? They all chose the more difficult mitzvah to do. Therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham. And that's what the pasuk says. That's why Chazal say, chacham leif. Who's a chacham? Yikach mitzvah is the guy who takes the mitzvah, which is a mitzvah which is easy to do. Because it's kulei mitzvah. Who was that? Who in the history of Klal Yisrael did that? Zeh Moshe. This was Moshe. Lohidea, and therefore this teaches us chokhmasai v'chasidusai shal Moshe. Shekol Yisrael osku b'biza u'Moshe osak b'atzmas Yosef. Because besides from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did this, you see the tzidkas of Moshe, you see the chokhma of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the chokhm is the one who chooses the easier mitzvah to do. And after Moshe Rabbeinu chose this mitzvah, right, which it took him 3 days and three nights to do. It took him 3 days and three nights until he found the Aron of Yosef and was schlepping around with him on his shoulders. You know what the other Jews managed to do during those 3 days? The Gemara says in Becheres, Eilecha Adam Yisrael, there wasn't one Jew besides Moshe, who came out of Mitzrayim, Shalaihayulah, who didn't have Tishim Chamorim, 90 mules to Unim, which were loaded to the gills with Kasper the Zahav Shal Mitzrayim, with silver and gold of Mitzrayim. And yet, even though Moshe Rabbeinu did all this, he didn't think at all that he did anything special. On the contrary, in his eyes, because Moshe Rabbeinu was an honor of Mikol Adam, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the most modest guy around, in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes, what did he do? He took the easier choice. He took the mitzvah kalah. So therefore, that's what Chazal say. The Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you thought that you did a mitzvah katan, a small mitzvah. You thought that what you did, Moshe Atayim Edova Kotnasisa, you're saying that you did something small. Why? Because in your eyes, the mitzvah that you did was a dover cotton and a dover kal. It was an easy thing to do. Chayecha chesed azesha sisa with the atzmus Yosef godlu. Why? Because you didn't worry about the kesef and the zov. Because the worth of a mitzvah, as the Mishnah says in Ovis, is lepum sara agra. The reward of a mitzvah you get, the fee, the amount of effort that you put into the mitzvah. Look at what effort Moshe Rabbeinu put in the mitzvah. The effort was a loss of 90 mules of gold and silver, right? Billions of dollars, and the fact that you have to schlep the Aron around, and the fact that it took him 3 days and three nights to find the Aron. Think of the schar of all that yigia that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get. And that is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Hevezoya b'mitzvah kalo k'b'chamura. She'ein ata yodea matnas charon shal mitzvahs. Right? That's it. Because you don't know what the erech of a mitzvah is. And the chamura, right, in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu, was the mitzvah of Bizus Mitzrayim, because of what we explained. Therefore, it's a difficult mitzvah to be Mekayim L'Shem Shemayim. And that's considered to be a mitzvah chamura. And the mitzvahs which can only be done L'Shem Shemayim, they're considered to be mitzvahs kalas. Says the Mishnah, Hevizoya b'mitzvah kala k'b'chamura. Run to do the mitzvahs which are kalas, which don't have any personal side benefits, in the same way as you run always to do the mitzvahs which do have side benefits. Now, there is a certain psychology which people have. And that is that people always like to think that they're good at overcoming nisyonos. And therefore he always get the Yibbur Chacham and says to himself, I know that if I do a mitzvah which I'm going to become a millionaire, it's going to be very difficult for me to do it, because it's difficult to do such a mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim. But I dafka want that nisyon, because I want to prove that I can do the mitzvah of becoming a millionaire and do it L'Shem Shemayim. We won't elaborate on that. When it comes to specific mitzvahs, that's true. But it's also true when it comes to other areas as well. That when it comes to nisyonis in life, right? There's a nisayon in life of going through life as an oni, and there's a nisayon in life as going through life as a osher. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Shtaim she'alti me'itcha." Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, "I asked Rebbeinu Shlomo two things, and one of these two things is va'osher al titanli, don't make me wealthy." Says the Alshech, "Why?" Because the pasuk continues and says, "Pen eshba v'chichashti v'amalti mi Hashem, u'pen erish v'ganabti v'tafasti shem elokai." In other words, that the nisayon of ashiras and the nisayon of oni, both of them are nisayonis, and both of them can lead to negative things. But the nisayon of an oni is the maximum. What will it lead to? That he'll become a ganef. Because he can't survive the poverty and he needs money, so he'll take money in an illegal manner. The nisayon of Ashiras is, says Shlomo HaMelech, that you start believing eventually that it's, that you did it, that it's because of you, because you are a good businessman, because you know how to make deals, because you know where to invest. And in the end, it turns you into apikeres, because at the end what you're going to say is, V'yamalti mi Hashem, you're going to say there's no Ribbono Shlalom around. So the nisayon of Ashiras is a greater nisayon than the nisayon of Nius. Now let's go back to where we started from. Yaakov Avinu bikesh l'sheves b'shalva. He wanted to lead a tranquil life. The kofas olav roigzei shel Yosef. And the whole parasha of Yosef arose. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu leidayan sadikim asher mesukanim elam haba lishem mevakshim leishev b'shalva b'olam hazeh. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta that it says by Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov Avinu had a dream, and Yaakov Avinu saw the ladder right and the angels going up. And what did he do immediately after that when he woke up? When he woke up, he made a deal with Ribbono Shlalom. He made a neder, and he said, "Im yealikim imodi, right? If you will give me beged lilboish for lechem lecho, right? Remember that?" Well, Yaakov Avinu said after the chalom that he had, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta the following. Yaakov Avinu obviously believed that the dream was true, because it says, "Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnasa." Yaakov woke up from his dream. Vayomer, and he said, "Achein shorli yesh Hashem b'mokam hazeh." In other words, this dream that I saw was a vision from God. In the dream, what was Ribbono Shel Olam telling him? Ribbono Shel Olam was telling him that he will be with him and he will protect him wherever he goes. So why did he afterwards have to make a neder with the Ribbono Shel Olam that if you will protect me, then in the dream, he knew the dream was true, and in the dream he was told he was going to be protected. So the obvious answer is that even though in the dream he was told that he was going to be protected, he was scared that maybe he'll do a chet, and the chet will lead to a punishment that the Ribbono Shel Olam will stop protecting him. So if that's the case, then what does the neder help? Right? It doesn't help that you're making a neder that if the Ribbono Shel Olam will protect you once again. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take away the protection because of the avera you do, it makes no difference if you make the neder or you don't make the neder. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta the following. The Ribbono Shel Olam has a system. He sometimes forces a person against his will to be an Eved Hashem. How does he do it? By bringing upon the person difficulties. And therefore the person feels that there's no way out. The only solution to my problem right, is God, right? The atheist who falls out the 50th floor, right, who suddenly becomes a believer as he passes floor number 47 on his way down, right? That's the Matthias of life, that's the way life is. But a person finds himself in the problems, all of a sudden there's a God, and all of a sudden he's turning to God, and all of a sudden he's talking to God, all of a sudden he's God's best friend. So the Rebbe Shlomo does this. He puts a person into a difficult situation because he wants the person to turn to him. And therefore, sometimes he lets a person have wealth, in which case the person doesn't really need the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and he's not muchach to be an Eved Hashem. That's a bigger misoyan. Because the guy, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who's been put into a matzav, where things are difficult for him, right? He basically, being an Eved Hashem is pretty easy. Why? Because he's got nowhere else to go. The bank manager doesn't want to listen to him, right? Nobody wants to loan him any money, so the only person who he can turn to is Kavyachol the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But the guy who's having a whale of a time, everything's going perfectly, he's got a big, much bigger nisoyan, right, in terms of his turning towards the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The dream indicated to Yaakov Avinu, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo was saying to him, I will be with you and I will protect you. How will I be with you and how will I protect you? Because I'll make sure that you always have to come unto me. And if you always have to come unto me, then everything's going to be fine. So Yaakov Avinu made a neder. Im yelekim imodi, if God is going to be not on top of me, but imodi, with me, meaning without being mitzayer me, without being madchik me, but not only lechem lechol abegit milbosh, I'll have everything I need, without the Rebbeinu Shlomo being malchitz on me, without the Rebbeinu Shlomo pressurizing me, v'shavti b'sholem el beis avi, and it'll also let me go back and meet my father again. I promise you, Rebbeinu Shlomo, that notwithstanding all that, v'hoya li, v'hoya Hashem li lelekim, you'll still be my God. I'm the type of guy who will still be an Eved Hashem, even if everything goes good. I don't need you to give me the nisoyan of tsar and dachkus in order to turn me into an Eved Hashem. That's what Yaakov Avinu was saying to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. In other words, what Yaakov Avinu wanted was, he wanted the ability to be able to show that even where things are going easy, and even where it's comfortable, I'm still an Eved Hashem. You don't have to put me into a situation of forcing me to be an Eved Hashem because things are going to be difficult. In other words, I don't need, right, the easy way out. Give me the hard way and I can do it as well, says Yaakov Avinu. Even if I've got no nisyonos, I can do it that way. And Dafka, at the point in time when he makes that tefillah, that the Rebbeinu Shlomo should give him the nisoyan of a nice, peaceful life, that's when all his problems start, which continued for many, many years. The Aveda Kosher in the house of Lavan, which took place for 20 years. After that, the meeting with Esav, where he and his wife and his children were all in a sakana, and the story with Dina, and the attack of Shimon and Levi on Shechem, which resulted in his fear that the Kanani and the Prizi, right, who were much larger group than he was, were going to attack him and were going to kill him, and that's why he got annoyed with Shimon and Levi. And he accepts all these problems that he gets from the Rebbeinu Shlomo, and he's an Eved Hashem in this Aini and in this Tsar, and yet all this, by Yaakov Avinu, for him this is easy. Because obviously when you've got these Nisyonos, you are an Eved Hashem. Because, as far as Yaakov Avinu is concerned, when you're serving God, mitoich Aini and mitoich Tsar, that's an easy thing. and he hadn't yet reached the madrega, he felt, of being able to be an Oved Hashem, where it's difficult to be an Oved Hashem, where things are going easy, to be Mekayim mitzvahs mitoich harchova and mitoich shalva. And that's what he wanted. He wanted to get to that madrega. And that's what he's being misspelled for. And that's what he says at the time. Yeli kimi modi, the Ribbono Shel Olam should be with me. In other words, not to be nitzav olav, not to be over me, not to be pressurizing me. Give me an easy life and I'll still show you that I can be an Oved Hashem. And what happens? When he's making this tefillah, and dafka after he's making this tefillah, dafka after all this happens by the dream, and the waking up from the dream in the nether, after he is saying to Ribbono Shel Olam, give me a nisoyan of shalva, dafka then kofetz al ogrezei shel Yosef and destroys his entire life completely and utterly. Why did Ribbono Shel Olam do this to him? He came at a good time. You give me years and years and years of proving to you that I can be an Oved Hashem. When it's easy to be an Oved Hashem, when things are going difficult to me, give me the opportunity to prove to you that I can be an Oved Hashem when things are going difficult. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo dayon letzadikim ma shemesukin lahem leilam habo. Look at my tzadikim. Nothing's ever enough for them. In other words, the tzaddik always wants to go to a higher madrega. He's not satisfied with his chelik in Olam Haba that he has when the Ribbono Shel Olam is making it easy for him to get his chelik in Olam Haba, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is forcing him to be an Oved Hashem. He dafka wants to be in a mokum nisoyan and prove that he can do it so that he should get a bigger chelik in Olam Haba. In other words, he wants it that it should be a mitzvah chamura. He doesn't want that it should be a mitzvah kala. Says Ribbono Shel Olam to Yaakov Avinu, that's not the derech. That's not the derech. You don't need to put yourself into a situation of nisoyon. You will get the maximum amount of schar for the fact that you survived as an Oved Hashem. Even if Ribbono Shel Olam was forcing you to be an Oved Hashem, that's enough. Don't ever try and put yourself into a mokum nisoyon. It doesn't work. There are people who the Hashkacha decides, for whatever reason it may be, that they're going, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to place them into a mokum of nisoyon, and they're going to have nisyonos. But if we can get away, and we can get through life without being in a mokum nisoyon, then jump at it. The amount of schar you will get for doing the mitzvahs, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is basically forcing you to do the mitzvah, is the same amount of schar that you're going to get, says Ribbono Shel Olam to Yaakov Avinu, as if you're going to do them. On the contrary, you should know that the tzaddikim, that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam deals with them. He knows that they want a bigger nisayon, but the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, no, no. You were mischassed, I'm going to be mischassed to you as well. There's a tremendous yisod here, which is very important for us, and we have to realize this. Chazal say that Torah matzlo magne, Torah protects. Being in the environment of a yeshiva protects. Vinishvi, whichever way you're going to slice it, an environment has a influence, an environment creates parameters, an environment stops you from doing certain things. I don't know if I told you the story that my father-in-law told me once. That many, many, many years ago, he was walking in the street in Bnei Brak. This was and met the Rosh Shiva of one of the major yeshivas here in Eretz Yisrael, who was a close friend of him. And he said to him, "What are you doing in Bnei Brak?" He lived in Yerushalayim, this Rosh Yeshiva. He said, "I came to Bnei Brak to ask the Chazon Ish a Shaila. I want you to hear the Shaila, and I want you to hear the answer." So he said, "Okay." He said, "We caught a boy in yeshiva stealing. And there was an argument between the Anhala of the yeshiva as to whether they should throw him out or they shouldn't throw him out. So it was decided that I should go and ask the Chazon Ish what to do. So I came to the Chazon Ish and I said to the Chazon Ish, in the yeshiva we found a boy who was stealing. Should we throw him out or not?" So the Chazon Ish said to me the following. It says that when Yaakov came to the house of Lavan, he came penniless. Why did he become penniless? Because Esav sent Eliphaz to kill him. But Eliphaz couldn't kill Yaakov. Why couldn't Eliphaz kill Yaakov? Because Eliphaz had spent so many years learning, right? But he couldn't come to kill him. So he said to Yaakov Avinu, "What should I do? My father told me to kill you. Kibbutz tells me I have to kill you. But I've learned so many years in yeshiva, I can't kill you. What should I do?" So Yaakov Avinu says, "I've got an eitzah, take away all my money." Chazal say that somebody who has no money is like a dead person, so therefore you've got no problem. You've done what your father told me, only kemes, you've done what your father told you, and everything's fine. So the Chazon Ish, "I always had a problem. He learned so many years in yeshiva, therefore he wasn't willing to murder. So how come he was willing to steal?" Says the Chazon Ish, "You know what the answer is? It's kedai to keep a guy in yeshiva for years, that he should be a thief and he shouldn't be a murderer." That's what this story tells us. In other words, whichever way you slice it, a yeshiva is a protective barrier for some guys more, for some guys less, depends on who you are, depends on where you're holding, there's all variety of factors which are involved. It's all true. 100% true. And then comes a point in time when you have to leave the yeshiva. That's true as well. There are points in time when a person has to leave yeshiva. But here, you have to always bear in mind two things. The first thing you have to bear in mind is that when you leave a yeshiva, you have to also be in a situation where the situation is going to force you into being an Eved Hashem. You always have to be in an environment where the environment is creating barriers, where the environment is forcing you to be an Eved Hashem. Not to choose a location or a society or wherever it may be, where the society is telling you not to be an Eved Hashem, and I'm going to be the Yibbur Chacham, I'm going to be Omer than the Soyim. And the second point is, there is no such thing as a guy saying, living in a yeshiva is living in an unreal world, so it doesn't prove anything to me. I have to go and be in the real world and prove to myself that I can be an Eved Hashem in the real world. Because that, this week's Parsha says to us, the Rebbe Shlom says, that's not a cheshbon. That's not a cheshbon. You don't have to be in no real world to prove to yourself that you can be an Eved Hashem in an unreal world, in a real world. Remain your entire life in the unreal world and be an Eved Hashem. That's more important. The Schar is the same Schar. Those are the two limudim from the Parsha.